Hi, welcome back to the channel. This video is another update on the situation with regards to Russia. In this series of videos, what I'm trying to do is look at the economic impacts on the global economy of what's happening in Ukraine right now. And in today's video, I want to talk about Turkey. If you follow the channel, you'll know that we've been covering Turkey in depth, and there is a crisis going on right now that started towards the end of 2021 when we saw a dramatic drop in the fall of the Turkish lira and has continued through into the start of 2022. And it looks like the situation is starting to get much worse. And I wanted today to go through some of the breakdown of what's happening right now. We've just seen some figures for February that show that there's been a 212% increase in the cost of imported energy in the first 2 months of 2022 compared with the same period for 2021. And that BOTAŞ, the nationalized gas supplier in Turkey, had to buy $5.4 billion from the Turkish Central Bank, which is a record for any one individual month. So in today's video, I'm going to highlight the problems that are going on in Turkey right now. We'll have a look at what's going on with regards to the production of electricity and the demand for electricity, natural gas purchases, oil purchases, what's happening with Turkish lira, because we're seeing a further deterioration in the value of the lira in the currency markets, what the situation is with regards to Turkey's forex reserves, how much foreign currency they actually have left in the kitty. We'll have a chat about inflation, and then finally I will wrap up with my summary as to what I think is going on right now, what's likely to happen over the next 3 to 6 months in Turkey, and what the impact of all of this could be on the global economy. So before we get into all of that, if I can ask you as usual to give me a thumbs up if you like the content of this video, and please also subscribe if you haven't done so already. And don't forget that I always include chapters in these videos, so if there's a section that you're not particularly interested in, it's really easy to skip over that and move on to the next. Turkey has a population of 84 million, and the bedrock of the Turkish economy is exports. So Turkey has based itself as a low-cost manufacturer, it has a low labour cost, and it's been inviting companies from all over the world to open up manufacturing facilities in its organised economic zones. So the summary of Turkish business is that they import a lot of raw materials and unfinished goods, they then produce things and manufacture things, and then they export the finished items. So as a result of the increase in industry in Turkey and also the growing demand for electricity from the population, there has been an increase in demand for electricity. In 2021, Turkey's electricity consumption increased by 12.4% versus 2020, and total power consumption was 327 billion kilowatt hours in 2021 compared with 291 in 2020. Now, Turkey has a very good spread in terms of how it creates that electricity. In terms of installed capacity, natural gas is the largest, representing 28%, followed by hydroelectricity at 25%, and wind power and coal represent 11% each. However, in 2021, Turkey had some issues with regards to its hydroelectricity generation. So the actual breakdown of the electricity that was generated was different to the installed capacity. Although hydro represents 25% of the capacity, the actual generation only equated to 13%. And that meant that Turkey had to turn to its natural gas power stations in order to make up the balance. And gas represented 42% of the total amount of electricity that was generated last year. And that's a problem for Turkey because it doesn't generate anywhere near enough natural gas to be able to feed those power stations itself. And 99% of all of its natural gas is imported from Russia, Azerbaijan, and Iran. So Turkey has to import virtually all of its gas from overseas. And that is causing them a problem for two reasons. Firstly, the price of gas has increased dramatically. And secondly, the contracts that they have in place mean that they have to pay for that gas in US dollars. And because of the increasing demand for electricity and the fact that other forms of electricity generation are not working efficiently for Turkey, it means that they are constantly having to buy more gas in the open markets, which means they have to purchase it at the spot rates. So there isn't a pre-agreed price that Turkey can rely upon that enables them to keep their costs down. So in order to get a feel for the problem that Turkey is facing right now, let's have a look at how the natural gas price has moved over the last couple of years. So this chart shows the price of European natural gas. And you can see that at the start of 2020, we were looking at a price of around about 9 euros. And through the course of 2020, we actually saw the price come down to a low point of 8.3. And from that point onwards, we have seen almost a constant increase. So by the end of 2021, we were looking at a price of around about 22 euros. However, through the course of 21, as we came out of the pandemic and there was a huge increase in demand for gas and other forms of energy, we saw the price take off. And it's moved from 22 euros to a high in 2021 of 99.9 euros. So that's an increase of 400% during 2021. Now, in the last quarter of 2021, the price was quite volatile, but still remained high. And as we've come into 2022, we have seen another sharp increase in the price of gas and is now sitting at above 110 euros. So if you compare the current price to where we were back in February 2021, it is a huge increase. So that is going to be painful for any country that has to buy natural gas. Nobody can cope with a 500% increase in the price of its raw materials. But when it's such an important part of the economy, when it's making up 42% of all of your electricity and all of your industry in the country relies upon that electricity and your economy relies upon that industry to keep moving forward, then you've got a real problem. And that problem is already manifesting itself in real cash terms. In Turkey, the supply of gas is entirely controlled by the state-owned company BOTAŞ. And in February, BOTAŞ had to ask the Turkish Central Bank for $5.37 billion in order to pay for the gas that it had acquired. Now that's a new record high, and the previous record high was set in January at $4.15 billion. So we've seen an increase of over $1.2 billion in 1 month. And don't forget that this doesn't really take into account any impact from the Russian crisis. And there is now a risk that gas prices could go up even higher. We've got sanctions against Russia. Russia is one of the main suppliers of natural gas to the whole of Europe. And a lot of the European countries have now decided that they don't want that dependence anymore, that they would like to move away from buying their gas from Russia. And that's causing major problems in the market. So everybody's now looking to buy liquefied natural gas. So the price of that is rising rapidly. So we've got a real problem. And Turkey doesn't really have any other option. It has to keep buying gas because all of its electricity infrastructure is entirely dependent on natural gas. And as a result of that high dependence, it's now estimated that Turkey will spend $40 billion on gas purchases in 2022, which is double the amount that they spent in 2021. And don't forget that all of those purchases need to be paid for with US dollars, which Turkey doesn't have, and that's causing them a major problem. Turkey's other major energy import is oil. And similarly to gas, the demand for oil in Turkey has risen dramatically. In 2021, total oil imports increased 42.4% on an annual basis. And the situation with regards to oil is exactly the same as gas in terms of Turkey needs to be able to find US dollars to pay for it. So what we have here is the oil price chart. So it shows that there's been an increasing trend in the price of oil. But because the value of the lira has fallen so dramatically, the relative cost to Turkey has been proportionately much greater. So you can see there's a marked increase in the relative cost here as we move along this chart. And the shape of this chart matches identically to the shape of the Turkish lira devaluation. So the summary of what this chart is showing is that over the last 12 months, the cost of oil to Turkey has risen by 239%. So that takes into account the rise in the price of oil and also the devaluation of the lira. So this is a similar situation to gas. We've got a product that Turkey needs and has to import large volumes of, and it's increased in price by almost 2.5 times over the last 12 months. And that is really difficult for any economy to be able to cope with. The value of the Turkish lira fell 44% in 2021, and at the start of 2022, it looked like the value had stabilised at around about 13.5 lira to $1. However, from the information that we've seen, it's clear that the Turkish Central Bank has been supporting the value of the lira in the international markets by buying lira and using foreign currency to do so. On the 1st of January, the price was trading at around about 13.2 lira to the dollar. Now, since the 1st of January, we have seen the lira starting to slip again. So the rate was trading below 14 to 1 for a while. However, since the Russian invasion of Ukraine on the 24th of February, we have seen a steady devaluation in the lira and is now trading around 14.7 to the dollar. It's believed that the Turkish Central Bank is still trying to support the lira in the international markets, but it just doesn't have enough US dollar reserves to be able to do that sufficiently to keep the rate at the level that it would like to trade at. And that's why we've seen slippage in the exchange rate, and it's likely that that will continue as we move through 2022. The level of foreign exchange held by the Turkish Central Bank is critical to the success of the economy for two reasons. Firstly, the Turkish Central Bank has been using US dollars to support the value of the lira in the international markets. And secondly, BOTAŞ is using those US dollars to make purchases of gas in the markets. In order to try and increase its reserves, Turkey introduced a variety of deposit protection schemes at the end of 2021, whereby they were encouraging all of the citizens of Turkey to hand over any foreign currency that they held, and also all of the corporates were instructed to hand over 25% of all of their US dollar reserves. This team is reported to be a success by the Turkish authorities, and it was recently announced that they've successfully raised $37 billion. Now, the net reserves of foreign currency as at the end of February are stated to be $18 billion. So there's a difference of $19 billion between those two figures. So that indicates that $19 billion has been spent on gas and Turkish lira support. And that figure feels about right because we know that Turkey has spent $17 billion in January and February on energy purchases. So that would leave a balance of only $2 billion to support the Turkish lira, which would explain why the Turkish lira has started to drop in value, because the Turkish Central Bank just doesn't have enough money to be able to support it sufficiently. But this is a major concern for Turkey because the trade deficit has jumped to $18 billion at the end of February, and forecasters are now predicting that the year-end current account deficit for Turkey will be around $29 billion. So the combination of the rapid rise in energy costs and the rapid fall in the value of the lira has led to rampant inflation in Turkey. Inflation for the last 12 months is now up to 54.4% and is expected to rise dramatically in March and Q2 of 2022 as we see the impact of those higher energy prices feeding through. And the problem with rampant inflation is that it will destroy the value of the lira. So we've already seen a move towards dollarization in Turkey. 2/3 of the population would now prefer to use US dollars rather than Turkish lira because they have more confidence that the dollar will have longer term value, and the lira is seen as being something that is a wasting asset. It's reducing in value all the time. Economists are now predicting that inflation will rise to 70% at some point over the next couple of months. But to be honest, I think if the Ukraine crisis goes on for much longer, then oil prices and gas prices will remain high, and that is going to have a really damaging effect on Turkey. And we could see inflation going way above 70% and getting towards 100%. Just before my final summary, I wanted to give you a quick update on the journalist Sedef Kabas. We've been following the story of Muzka Bass on this channel. She was arrested on the charge of insulting the president, and she has now been sentenced to 2 years and 4 months in prison. She's currently been released pending appeal. However, as it stands at the moment, she's been convicted and she will have to go to prison. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, the problem for Turkey is that fundamentally it relies upon imports for the majority of its energy, and all of its business depends upon that energy to be able to produce things which they can then export. So the whole economy is dependent on the price of that energy. And what we have seen over the last 12 months is a sharp increase in the cost of natural gas and of oil. And at the same time as that was happening, we saw a sharp fall in the value of the lira. So the combination of those two factors have made it much, much more expensive for Turkey to be able to buy its energy. So that's what's caused most of the damage to the economy as it stands right now. The impact of the Russian invasion of Ukraine has made matters much worse. We've seen the price of oil go through $100 for the first time in many years, and we've also seen the price of natural gas go up dramatically. And because of what's happening with regards to Russia and the sanctions, there is a lot of volatility in the market, and none of that is helping Turkey or its situation. So Turkey was already in a very fragile position. They had very little in the way of foreign currency reserves and rampant inflation. And unfortunately, the Russian invasion is going to make both of those things worse. We're going to see inflation going higher, and it could go significantly higher. It could go above 100% from the 50% that it's at right now. And we could also see the Turkish lira tumble in value further, because as the Turkish central bank runs out of dollars, it will need to prioritize the purchase of natural gas to produce electricity, to keep the lights on for everybody, and therefore it won't be able to support the lira in the international markets, and we could see the value plummet. So the outlook for the next 3 to 6 months for Turkey doesn't look good at all. It looks like there's going to be more pressure put on the economy, and there is a very real chance that Turkey could hit some sort of breaking point and need some form of bailout. Either it won't be able to afford to keep buying in all of its energy supplies, and therefore will have blackouts, and that would put industry out of business, and that would then mean that the economy had nothing in terms of its exports, and we would go into a vicious downward spiral. Or it will need to ask for money to keep buying all of those supplies in. Now, Turkey recently issued some sukuk bonds with the UAE, and they may well decide that they need to do more of that going forward. But they've got a lot of bonds that they need to refinance already. So there is a big cash burden sitting on Turkey right now, and it's getting bigger by the day, because the price of everything that it wants to buy is going up and the value of its currency is going down. So the outlook for Turkey for 2022 doesn't look good. And if Turkey does get into a position where it needs a bailout, that's going to be bad news for the global economy, because that will have a negative impact on a number of other countries who do trade with Turkey, importers and exporters, and there'll also be a contagion factor that as investors and banks lose money on the Turkish situation, then they could be put into a difficult financial position also, and we could see the domino effect filter through the whole of the financial world. So I'll keep you posted on any further news and developments as I come across them on Turkey or Russia. If you've liked what I've said today, then please give me a thumbs up, and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already. And I guess it's only the loyal viewers who are still watching at this point. So I wanted to ask you a quick question about my intro. So I've had some feedback recently about whether or not I should be stating my name. If you've been watching the channel for a while, you'll know that I usually start with the intro, "Welcome back to the channel," and then move on to talk about whatever the video is about. But recently I've been trialing a new intro, which is "Welcome to Joe Blogs, I'm Joe," and then talking about the video. Could you let me know in the comments below which one you prefer, which you like better? Do you like the traditional version of "Welcome back to the channel," or do you like the new style? Be interested to hear from you. Thanks a lot.